الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إني أمرت أن أعبد الله مخلصا له الدين. وقد ورد عن سيد البشر صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has made us human beings. And being humans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared in the Quran Majid that we are the best of all the creations. That لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمٍ. That we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says that we have created man in the best of forms. And likewise, we have granted man honor. And then together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. And we have granted man superiority over many of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then what is the reason for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing us with this superiority over the rest of the creation? For like how animals eat and drink, we also eat and drink. Like how they will fulfill their desires, man also has his desires to fulfill. But the factor that differentiates man from the rest of the creation is that superior level of intellect, that where man is able to understand the consequences of his actions and his deeds. That man is able to think beforehand, that before embarking on any action or any deed, that what will be the rewards of this, what will be the consequence and the aftermath of what I am about to carry out. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized very greatly on the aspect of intending before doing any action and deed. That we are not like animals who just act spontaneously and on impulse. That the moment that animal sees anything that is appealing, immediately the animal runs forward, not worrying about any danger that might come along its path. Whereas man is such that man thinks beforehand. And many a times, when it comes to matters of deen, then we fall short. But when it comes to worldly matters, then there we plan beforehand. We think that what would this deal bring for me? Is it going to be a lucrative and a profitable deal? Or is it something where I am going to suffer a loss? So when it comes to worldly matters, then we tend to use that ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And that is how a person, in as far as his worldly pursuits are concerned, many people would progress because they apply their minds that now this is a deal that has come up. And if I go and enter into this deal, I will make so much of profit. And in this way, he escalates in life. But when it comes to our deen, then unfortunately for most of ourselves, we live as if a robotic life. That we just wake up in the morning knowing in our minds that now it is the time of Fajr. We just make that wudu, jump into that car or take a walk and come to the masjid. But do we ever think, sit down and reflect that why am I going to the masjid? What has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept in store for me? That right now each one of us can question ourselves, down within our hearts and our minds, that we have all come for the Jum'ah Salah. And for the Jum'ah Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained such great merits that the muhaddithin and the commentators of hadith explain that there is hardly any reward that would be able to match the reward that a person will receive for coming for the Jum'ah Salah. That way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained that that person who takes a thorough bath and then sets off for the Jum'ah Salah and he comes on foot, then and he applies that itr, he wears proper attire and proper garments. For every step that this person takes, he will be getting the reward of 1 year's fast. He will be getting the reward of standing for 1 year in ibadat at night and many more rewards. But let us ask each one of ourselves that before we came for the Jum'ah Salah, or even as we sat down, did we ever think that, oh Allah, I am coming to fetch this reward. I am coming to get this reward that you have promised. And if we ever have to think in this way, then that is when life would come into our actions. That as they say, jaan, that amal is either bare jaan, that it has no life. It is just that outward action that we are carrying out. But then when we will have and think beforehand, that now this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. This is what my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised for this amal and for this deed. Now we will find a marked difference in our approach towards it. And when we look at the Mubarak ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this is something which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has highlighted extensively for different actions and for different a'mal, which they refer to as ihtisab, that doing that action not only with ikhlas for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but doing it ihtisaba, that with the hope of fetching that reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have promised for it. The famous hadith that we normally hear at the time of the month of Ramadan, that where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that man sama Ramadan imanan wahtisaba, that person who observes the fast of Ramadan, but how? Imanan, that firstly he observes that fast with complete iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that he is the only one worthy of worship. But together with that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has highlighted this very important aspect, wahtisaba, that he observes that fast with hope of reward and thawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now when that fast is kept with this frame of mind, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, all his past sins are going to be forgiven. وَمَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, and that person who would stand up in salah, in the Taraweeh salah at night during the month of Ramadan. And again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlights these two crucial aspects, that إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا, that having firm iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with hope of reward, then all his past sins would be forgiven. So it brings us back to this point, that before doing that action, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to think that just for a few moments, that now I am doing it, not just as if to go through the motions, that now the rest of the community, the rest of my family members, they are waking up for sahri, so I will just join them and I will fast, because I know it is fard. But what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants from us is that before doing that amal, before doing that action, think that now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward me. So I want to do that amal to get that reward and to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was a feature that was found in the lives of the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. That in anything that they did, it wasn't just as if moving with the motions, but rather, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them in the Qur'an Majeed, that يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا, that at all times, they were seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were seeking the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this aspect of ihtisab is not just confined to the fast of Ramadan, to the Taraweeh Salah in the month of Ramadan. But rather in different ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has highlighted this. There was a Sahabi who happened to be the cousin of the famous Sahabi Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And mention is made that this was an Ansari Sahabi. And his house, according to the narration, was Aqsa Baytim min al Masjid. That it was the furthest house from Masjid Nabawi. But yet this Sahabi, for every Salah, he would set out on foot and come for Salah, make it on time. Whether it was raining, whether it was hot and sunny. But this Sahabi would make sure that he would make his way for the Salah in the Masjid. So Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that the rest of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, on observing the difficulty that this Sahabi was undergoing in coming to the Masjid for Salah. So he says that I went up to this Sahabi, to this cousin of mine, and I suggested to him that it would be a good idea if you could buy a mule, a donkey, a mode of transport. So that would be able to save you from the difficulty that you are encountering. That you will not be able, that you will no more have to remain in that hot sun for such a long period of time. Your journey to the Masjid would be much shorter. And if there is something harmful along the way, now that you are riding that animal, you would be much more secure. So this Sahabi, he replied, and he told this Sahabi Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala an, that I do not wish to be near the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala an, hearing this reply, he took exception to this. That now, how can this Sahabi speak like this? That every person would desire to live and to be a neighbor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is how this Sahabi has spoken. So he got a bit worried, a bit perturbed. So he came over to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he explained what had transpired. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then called for this Sahabi. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to clarify that now, what did you mean before passing any judgment against him? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him that, did you say this? And why did you say this? So this Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that أَنَّهُ يَرْجُو فِي أَثَرِهِ الْأَجْرِ. That he explained that, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that now I know that I live very far away from the masjid. But together with that, you have also explained the virtue of walking and coming to the masjid. That for every step that I would take, my sins would be forgiven. I would be rewarded for this. My rank in Jannat would be raised. So that is why I had responded in that manner. For I know that if I am living closer to your house, then I will not be able to fetch that amount of reward. So I live far away intentionally, so that I would be able to come for every salah, with the hope in mind that now I will be able to fetch that reward that I have been promised. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard the response of the Sahabi, so he told him, إِنَّ لَكَ مَحْتَسَبْتَ. That, oh my Sahabi, you will be rewarded in accordance to your anticipation of the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. That I seat my servants as they think of me. That if you have great hopes and you anticipate for the great rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, then surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reward you. But when you are going to just be carrying out that action as part of your daily routine, but without that hope of reward, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alimun bidhati sudur. He knows the thoughts, our intentions, the factors that motivate us behind our actions and our deeds. And accordingly will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward a person. So if we have to just take out those few moments before doing any amal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us much more than what we can even expect. Much more than what we think we will be receiving. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this bondsman of mine is hoping for reward. He is anticipating that reward of mine. So let me give him as he is hopeful of that reward. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had explained regarding the performance of the janazah salah. That many a times we hear the reward that now when you attend to the janazah salah, then you will receive that thawab and the reward of one qirat. And that qirat is equivalent to the amount of Uhud. But if we study this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the actual wordings of this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained, مَنِ اتَّبَعَ جَنَازَةَ مُسْلِمٍ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا, that person who follows the janazah of his Muslim brother. But again, those two crucial factors, having iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wahtisaba, and anticipating and hoping for the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. Now will a person receive that reward, falahu qirat. Now he will receive that reward of one qirat for joining the janazah salah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on further to explain. And if he participates in the dafan and in the burial of that Muslim brother of his, and again with these two crucial factors, iman and wahtisaba, then will a person receive those two qirats of thawab. Thawab equivalent to twice the size of Mount Uhud. But again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has highlighted this point of ihtisab, that carrying out those actions and those deeds with hope and anticipating for the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. In the famous hadith of where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had went to console his beloved daughter on the demise of her son. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had explained to her that inna lillahi ma akhad walahu ma a'ta, that where he explained to her that now that your son, your child has passed on, but everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will deal and do as he wants. He will take what belongs to him. And what he gives also belongs to him. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, وَكُلٌّ عِنْدَهُ بِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, that everything has an appointed time and a fixed time. But فَلْتَصْبِرْ وَلْتَحْتَسِرْ, make sabr, that persevere. But at the same time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, not just make sabr, but hope for reward. وَلْتَحْتَسِبْ, hope and anticipate for the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised for this. So again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has highlighted this aspect of ihtisab and doing that action, thinking before that, that now I want that reward, I want to fetch that reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, when it comes to a person spending on his family members, that now many a times a person thinks that now when I'm going to be spending on my wife, on my children, then now this is just part of my duties of being the husband and being the father of the home. And as they say normally, that roti kapra makan, that now that is the duty of the husband. So yes, that is the duty of the husband, to provide that shelter, that food, that clothing to the wife and to his dependents. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained that إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمَ إِذَا أَنْفَقَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ نَفَقَةً وَهُوَ مُحْتَسِبًا, that person who spends on his family members, that he provides that milk and that bread and he places it on the table, but he does it وَهُوَ مُحْتَسِبًا, having hope for that reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كَانَتْ لَهُ صَدَقَةً, then this person will receive the reward of sadaqah, of charity. Then outwardly it seems that now you are just fulfilling your responsibility of marriage, your responsibility of being that father of that home, of the children. And it is just part of your daily routine. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that when you would do this, having hope of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this outward worldly action will now fetch you the reward of sadaqah, of daily sadaqah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again highlights this aspect, that now before doing that action, think and have that hope and anticipate for that reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, there are many other a'mal of deen, many other actions in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has highlighted this. Even when it comes to jihad, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has highlighted this, that it isn't just that you are going to fight against the opposition and fight against the enemy of the Muslims, but do it with that ihtisab, and then you will see how much more rewards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bless you with. But then together with this comes the crucial aspect of niyat and intention. That when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not only encourages us to do our deeds with sincerity, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instructed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, that you also, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares in the Qur'an Majeed, that قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ, that O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announce and say, that I, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I have been commanded to carry out my actions مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ, that doing my actions solely and only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when a person would do so, now that amal and that deed will fetch some reward and some thawab from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, that amal and the deed, if it is done, it would be counted as a valid action. That for example, if a person performs that wudu, but he does not make any specific niyat, so that wudu would be valid. He will come into the state of tahara and purity. But without that niyat, there will be no thawab and no reward behind that amal and that deed. But now when there is going to be that niyat behind it, now that wudu will be a means of fetching great thawab and great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when it comes to this aspect of niyat and this aspect of intention, then our ustad, Hazrat Maulana Harun Sahib, Abbas Umar rahimahullah, he would tell us repeatedly that don't be stingy, don't be miserly with your own selves. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you the opportunity of making multiple actions for a single deed. And this is an aspect which Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has also highlighted. So he would tell us repeatedly that now when you are setting out for the masjid, for example, then don't only make that intention that now I am going to the masjid to perform salah. So that is the primary intention that a person is going to make. But according to the intentions that a person will make, accordingly will the rewards be multiplied as well. So he would tell us that now you are going to the masjid. So the masjid is a place where the entire Muslim community would congregate. So one of the intentions that you can make is that now I am setting out to the masjid, so that whichever Muslim brother I come across, I will get the opportunity of making salam and showing him a smile on my face. So I am going to the masjid with this intention as well, to practice on this sunnat of salam and a smile to my Muslim brother. So for this intention, you would be getting a separate reward. Then he would tell us, set off to the masjid. And in the masjid, there would be some dini program, or there would be some literature or some pamphlet put up on the notice board. So now before leaving home, make that intention that I am going to the masjid to learn some aspect of deen, so that I will be able to enrich myself with deen, with deeni knowledge. So now, when you are going to be setting out, it wouldn't be that you are setting out just for salah, but now you would be setting out in the path of knowledge, in the pursuit of knowledge. So just that journey to the masjid will now fetch you that thawab of setting out in the path of pursuing knowledge. And for that would be a separate reward and a separate thawab. And then he would say that you can make a fourth intention, that now you would go to the masjid and there would be some person who is in need of some assistance and some help. So now set out with this intention that whatever means I have, even if it is a few rands, even if it is some leftover food, but now I am going to the masjid to spend, to assist my Muslim brother. So now you are going out with that intention. So now, man kana fi hajati akhi, that person who is going to be there for the assistance of his brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be with such a person. And like that, if you have to just sit down, there would be much more and many more intentions that a person can make just for this one amal of coming to the masjid. And based on each intention will a person be able to fetch separate thawab and separate rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this deen of ours so easy, so simple, to fetch so great rewards. But as explained in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ashraful makhluqat, the best of all creations. And amongst the differentiating factors between us and the rest of the creation is this aspect of aqal, of intellect, of applying our minds. So the next time we think of doing any action and doing any deed, ponder for a few moments, reflect for a few moments and for a few seconds. Why am I carrying it out? I want to fetch those rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we will find a marked difference in that amal and in that deed that we would be carrying out. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses each one of us with the tawfiq to make amal on whatever has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.